Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. Good morning, everyone. What a special morning this is. There's something about just coming to church on a day where our world gives us a day. Our country gives us a day off to remember the most important day in history. I think that's worth coming together, and I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad you jumped in online as well, because it's a dark day, this Good Friday. It's probably the darkest day in history. There are whispers of betrayal all around. Whispers, events, rumors circulating. Stories of friends in denial. Stories of people who perhaps were betraying each other or running away from each other. It's a long night of court cases, to-ing and fro-ing and blaming and who's responsible and who should take this. And accusations, crowds jeering, chanting, a mob, an angry mob. This is the scene from last night, from Thursday when Jesus was arrested. All through the night, Jesus had a long night. He would have been taken from Pilate to Caiaphas to different courts of appeal. He ended up in a Roman place of about 1,000 soldiers, Praetorian Guard, who abused him, spat on him, hit his head, mocked him. And finally, he has to carry this cross. Now, I want you to understand something, and I'm aware of the audience in the room, so I won't go into too much detail. But if you've ever seen The Passion of the Christ, if you've ever studied Roman execution, this is no polite little cross. This is not something we wear politely around our neck. This is a brutal execution device. And the whipping with a cat of nine tails, which had all kinds of things encrusted into it, and the ripping of skin and the bearing blood vessels. The pictures and the images we see of Jesus are so often sanitized, so often brushed over, but it was brutal. And after the whipping and the beating and the mocking, and he had to carry his cross, whether it was just the upper beam or something, but he physically couldn't do it. They had to get someone in to help him. And then the hideousness of the nails and the feet and the hand. There's a verse in John 19. Thanks for reading that, Rowan. Verse 16, it says this. Sorry, verse 25. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. What would you have seen if you were standing by the cross that day? What would you have witnessed? What would you have felt? What would you have understood, especially as his mum? Can you imagine mum's in the room, what that would be like? Can you imagine what you'd be feeling? Can you imagine watching your son come up this hill, completely covered in blood? Your precious son, who you've nursed from childhood, having people rip into him, your son being absolutely humiliated and naked and nails, what would you see if you were standing by the cross? You would have seen a crucifixion. In verse 18, it says there they crucified him with him and two others, one on either side and Jesus between them. Two common criminals crucified either side of Jesus. Scriptures say that both of them were mocking him, as if it wasn't enough to have the crowd around him and have to walk through the streets of Jerusalem, crowds jeering and mocking, the same crowds who a week before were celebrating him. To be up on the cross, and even the guys who are in the same situation, to be hurling insults, it says. You would have witnessed this, standing at the cross of Jesus, other prisoners going, "What are you doing? Save yourself." And us. You would have seen extreme cruelty, a man almost unrecognizable from suffering, intense physical abuse. You would have seen the crown of thorns cruelly thrown on his head. You would have seen the most humiliating form of execution. You would have seen a sign above his head. In verse 19, Pilate wrote a description, and it read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." It's a mockery. It's saying, this is what we think of the Jews. Look at your king. How we have triumphed over him. Hail your king, because we've just destroyed him. You would have seen soldiers gambling for clothes while they're waiting for the body to die. And I got to tell you, without too much detail, the heaving and the effort to breathe on a cross and the effort and the pain for each breath, it could have gone on for 2 or 3 days for most criminals. For Jesus, it was thankfully 6 hours. But while that was happening, you've got soldiers gambling for the clothing of the prisoners. You would have seen that. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into 4 parts, one for each soldier. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. And they cast lots. You would have seen the Marys. In verse 25, it says, "But standing by the cross of Jesus were his Mary, mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene," the three Marys of Scripture. The women devoted to Jesus, there at the end, right there with John, the disciple who Jesus loved most. And you would have seen the end in 30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. You would have heard his voice saying, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." You would have heard his gasp, "I'm thirsty. God, why have you forsaken me?" The 9 things he says from the scripture, from the cross. You would have heard that standing at the foot of the cross. And you would have witnessed the removal of the body. In verse 40, they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with spices, as is the burial custom. You would have seen Joseph of Arimathea go and ask Pilate, "Can I take the body?" And him and Nicodemus, a hero from John 3, two men take the disfigured body of Christ and bury it in a cave, wrapping it up. I've been pondering this all week. My question is, why? Why would God do that to himself? Why would God do that, subject such cruelty, such pain, such torture? Why? And why is this the foundation of our faith? Why is Good Friday a day where we remember? Why did it have to be like this? Surely there was another way, God. Surely there was a way that we could be reconciled with God without without this. And as I pondered it, I was thinking about Isaiah 53. What a phenomenal passage. Thank you, Wendy. What an amazing. If you don't know, Isaiah was written hundreds of years before Jesus. What Wendy read out described Good Friday hundreds of years before it happened. It's all planned. It's all there. Why? Well, do you know what? It was for me and for you. He was despised and rejected by men, says Isaiah 53, verse 3. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as of one whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, this is what he says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. See, if you were standing at the foot of the cross, you would have thought, oh, God's abandoned him. God's done it. But you know what he was doing? He was carrying our griefs and our sorrows. On the cross, he had in himself our grief and our sorrow. Verse 5 says, he was pierced for our transgressions. And he was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. I want you to see what's really going on here. We're going to celebrate on Sunday, but let's not jump to Sunday. Let's just sit in Friday for a moment. But can you see what's going on here? The love that God has for us is displayed on the cross because he, on a cross, is carrying all this for us so that we don't have to. How did it happen like this? It's justice. He took the punishment that I deserved and on himself in a once-for-all display of justice. You see, God is a just God. When we hear news stories and we hear terrible things happen, we want justice, right? We hear of murder and horrible things happening, abuse. We want justice. God is a God of justice. He needs to make sure that justice has its way, but he's such a God of love, foremostly. And in this one act, the justice and the mercy of God meet right there. And so God, on one hand, carries what we could, we should have taken, and yet does it for us so that we don't have to. In that one act, justice is dealt with, but love transcends it all. It's for us. It's for us. And look at this, verse 10. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief, and when his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring, and he shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he will bear their iniquities. So by that one act, many people will come to know God. By that one act, anyone who wants can come and find God. Anyone, we don't have to carry that anymore. What do we find at the cross? What is Jesus carrying for us? It's forgiveness. It's peace. It's healing. And we're made righteous. Did you know that you don't have to live with unforgiveness? You don't have to live with that sense of distance between God. So many people I meet think, oh, God doesn't. I'm not good enough for God. God has forgiven you. God has made a way for us to connect with him. You don't have to carry that anymore. God has brought peace. We don't have to live with anxiety anymore. We don't have to carry anxiety and fear and oppression, because guess where that just went? Jesus took it on a cross. With every beating and every whip, that was ours, but he said, I'll do it so that you can have peace. You can have forgiveness. In by his stripes we are healed, it says. We've got healing. Total, complete healing. I'm telling you, every single person who loves Jesus will be completely healed and whole for eternity. Absolute eternity. Are you ready for that? I'm not particularly old yet. All right. But you know, there's parts of my body that I wish it worked like it did when I was 20. I'm telling you, there's going to be a time when I'll be completely 20 again forever. Healed and whole. No ailments, no stuff, no dodgy knees. And also, you know, some of this healing sneaks into our world as well. You know, you might have experienced God's touch, God's healing, God's blessing. As Jesus brought that in, you know, wherever he went, he healed people. But, you know, that's just such a minuscule time of eternity that we have here on earth. Forever, we'll be healed and whole. We'll be made righteous. We'll be made right with God. We'll be made such that we can enter into God's presence fully confident and fully assured. Can you imagine that? Imagine entering the throne room of God, the God who made the universe, stars, planets, galaxies. You imagine the power that God has? And can you imagine coming before him in his throne room? We can do that confidently because there's no gap between us and him and our Heavenly Father. He says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. This is all ours for the taking. It's a phenomenal act of sacrificial love and something that his people follow in. But I don't want you to miss this morning what Jesus has done for you personally. He has done it. He has made a way for us to live an incredible life of healing, of wholeness, of forgiveness, of plenty, of abundance. And this morning is a really simple morning to remember what he's done for us, what he's purchased for us. And now it's up to each of us. What do we do with that? Do we just walk out of here thinking, well, that was, thanks, Jesus. Yeah, I can't understand that. I get it. Or maybe it could transform your life. Or maybe living in the power of the cross could transform your future. Maybe it could give you the confidence you need. Maybe this morning it'll give you the healing that you need. Maybe this morning it'll give you the freedom that you need in your heart. Maybe this morning the power of the cross will come and come alongside you and just remind you how special you are to God, how important you are to God. Maybe this morning, just think how much he loves you. How much? Why would God subject him to that if he didn't love us dearly? It paints such a beautiful, high picture of God's love for us. So there's an exchange that's happening here. We exchange our brokenness for his healing. We exchange unforgiveness and distance for his forgiveness and mercy. We exchange our sickness for his health, our poverty for his abundance. You see, it's an exchange that's going on. Paul writes this later on in Galatians 2, just as I finish. He says, I've been crucified with Christ in Galatians 2:20. He says, I was there on the cross with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ, but it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He's exchanged his life for God's life. Instead of living our normal earthly lives, we can actually live Jesus' life here. How awesome is that? Life of peace and wholeness and freedom and blessing. That's ours. It's an exchange. And they help us in that journey. We have communion here this morning. And it's going to be a special time. We're going to sing in a moment, Amazing Grace. Because what an awesome declaration of what God has done. We're going to sing a few verses and then we're just going to give some space. And it's a time for prayer. We've got, you know, we've given 10 minutes to this. Just plenty of time. Some time just to come when you're ready to take some bread and some juice, some wine. You could linger around on the side if you just want to linger. You could take it back to your seat. It doesn't matter. And in the middle of it, in that act of taking on the body and the blood of Christ, you take on his life. You exchange his life, which he purchased, for yours. And you let go of the things that bind you, the things that hurt you, and you take on Christ's life in you. And you say, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So let me pray as we just close that and just move to a time of which I'm really praying is a deep connection for you with Jesus right in this moment. Lord God, right now, this cross is a terrifying mystery. I'm praying this morning, Lord, that we recognize it's your great love that's behind all this. And it's your love for us. And in this, you've made a way for us to do this. So Holy Spirit, come and help us have this divine connection with you this morning. That somehow in the middle of our normal everyday life, that we can exchange our life for yours. And we thank you. We thank you for everything that you've done to make it possible for us to get to know God really. Lord, I'm praying this morning that you make that a beautiful moment for each person here in the room. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.